Hey, welcome to Napcast. My name is David.
And my name is Seth, and we're here to talk about, I don't even know what we're talking about
We're
right
here
now.
To talk about Star Wars.
Yes.
But first, we got to explain what in the world is the Napcast.
So Nap stands for Geeks and Nerds with Absolute Pitch, because both David and myself have perfect pitch. So we can name a note and then sing it, or somebody can play a note and we'll recognize it.
For example, give me a note. That's a G. It's a
yes,
G below
is.
Middle C. All right. So as you can tell, we have absolute pitch, and we are both geeky, nerdy fellows. So
yes, we are
the Napcast, spelled with a G, which is, you know, the G is silent, but also so are the geeks. That's not true. I'm kidding. But today I think we're going to be talking about Star Wars, just some mainstream the Star Wars movies.
No matter how many times I hear it, that theme music is still epic.
Oh,
it
man.
Almost always gives me chills.
John Williams' music. There we go.
John Williams is amazing.
John's music is Williams is something related.
Yeah.
I don't know. John Williams' music. Oh, man. Duel of the Fates in the first episode. Oh, wait. That's not how they go.
With the lyrics that don't make any sense.
I don't know what the lyrics are. But what about the Fate of the Heroes? That's not what it's called.
Battle of the Heroes.
Battle of the Heroes in the third one. Oh, that music is
da,
so
da,
nice.
Da, 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 da.
Oh man, the violin—not the violin part, the high trumpet parts where they're like triple tonguing.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Yes, I don't know how they do that.
Well, it's triple tonguing. It's ta-ka-da, ta-da-da, ta-da-da. You gotta like roll your tongue when you do it. My dad was a trumpet player, still is. Just roll your tongue. It's just ta-da-da, 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 you know.
Man, I can't even do that.
I could at one point, but I don't play trumpet, so that makes it very difficult for me to do such a thing.
I'd imagine it so.
You know, but the music in Episode 7, though, what'd you think about that?
So, I gotta be honest, I was a little, not sure what the word is.
Skeptical? Hesitant?
Skeptical.
Flamboyant?
Not applied to music. I went into Episode 7 expecting to hear, you know, all of the classic Star Wars songs
right.
that I loved and that I grew up
with. You got your main
with.
Themes, your Princess Leia theme, you know.
Yeah, and it was, the soundtrack I felt was very subdued. Like, there wasn't a lot going on. And
it wasn't trying to be in your face.
Right. I mean, the only song I even sort of remember from Episode 7 that wasn't like the main title crawl
right.
theme was Rey's theme, because it was the only one that... It actually sounded a little bit like a score from Harry Potter.
Interesting. But John Williams didn't do Harry Potter, did he?
He did. So the first couple movies, at least.
Okay, for some reason I was thinking Hans Zimmer, but that's Pirates of the Caribbean for some later one. Completely different set of movies. No.
For sure.
But yeah, the music, for me, wasn't particularly memorable for Episode 7, I'd say.
No.
I was more so watching it for, well, partially the story, just to critique it, but then also I was watching for like the visual and the sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
And those, of course, being a modern movie, those were fantastic.
Absolutely. I would agree with you there.
I mean, I like the visual. I mean, one of my favorite parts of the movie was Kylo Ren stopping a blaster bolt. That, just the visual and the sound that went with it was so cool. He holds up his hand and it just like stops.
That was a very, very cool effect.
I didn't like that scene particularly though, because not only was that effect amazing, but then just as you're introducing this super awesome Darth Vader-esque character, Kylo Ren, somebody makes a witty one-liner and just completely destroys the tension.
Oh,
like, really?
Yeah.
Man,
it's like
I mean,
Finn has no sense of gravity. Or not Finn. What's his name? Poe? The pilot.
Poe Dameron, I think.
Yeah, Poe Dameron or something. It sounds
something
like Cameron,
like
and I always want to call him Cameron something.
The character who almost dies and then doesn't actually die because, I don't know, he ejected or something?
Well, I read some interviews about that, and apparently what was supposed to happen was Poe was actually supposed to die.
Oh.
And then in the initial...
Did they have a contract dispute?
In the initial screening of Episode 7, the fans loved Poe so much that they were like, okay, we'll just bring him back in Act 3.
Oh.
So that's why he kind of shows up towards the end of the movie.
That
it's like,
hey
guys, I'm just here now.
That did kind of feel like he was supposed to be dead and then just kind of showed up at the end.
He kind of was.
It's
never really explained how he got off Jakku.
Yeah, now that you think about it. I mean, he didn't have a Millennium Falcon. I mean, a YT-2000. That's not what it's
called. YT-1300.
YT-1300, the Corellian freighter. That thing is in so many shambles and pieces.
It is so old at that point.
I'm surprised it's still flying.
Right?
I'm surprised Han Solo was still flying. He was so old at that point. Oh, man. He didn't want to do any more Star Wars, though.
Han
it?
Solo actually wanted... Harrison Ford,
correct.
The actor that plays Han Solo, actually wanted out of the Star Wars franchise in Episode 5. His character was originally supposed to die
in
the carbonite freezing scene.
Oh.
That was supposed to be his death, which is why it made that scene with him and Leia so tender and so dramatic at the same
time. So solemn? Were they aiming for his death originally?
They wanted to kill him, and then George Lucas, I guess, brought him back for the sixth movie.
Interesting. I mean, not a bad choice. He had some great moments in the sixth movie. You know, the part where he sneaks up behind the stormtrooper, taps him on the shoulder, and he shrugs his shoulders and is like, I gotcha. I liked his character in the sixth one.
My favorite Han Solo moment, or actually, it's a Harrison Ford moment, because it happens in episode 4. It's when he's jabbering on the radio after taking out the stormtroopers.
How are you?
Oh, wait. We've had a small reactor leak here. It's fine. How are you?
Oh. I love that part.
The reason I love that line so much is because Harrison Ford deliberately didn't memorize the line, so it would sound really awkward when he went to say it.
He did. It sounded...
And it fits so well.
It was so perfect. Oh, I love that part.
It does. Oh, man.
Now, and we're doing this podcast, by the way, without any notes or anything. We're just kind of talking. So we're just going to be talking for a while. So
yeah.
Speaking of the Star Wars movies, what did you think of, I guess, first of all, the storyline of Episode 7?
See, I felt like Episode 7... wasn't really sure where it was going. Like, it's been, what, 15? No, not quite 15 years since Episode 3 came out. About 12 years.
Somewhere around there.
So we all thought there weren't going to be any more Star Wars movies. Even though George Lucas had originally planned on creating a second trilogy.
Second one? I didn't remember that. Was that going to be 7, 8, and 9?
That was originally going to be 7, 8, and 9.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Back when Star Wars in the late 80s, early 90s, George Lucas was still wanting to make Star Wars movies. And so he always envisioned the series ending with a 7, 8, and 9. And that would revolve around Han and Leia and Luke's children. And
was it going to be the children of, like, the extended universe, like Jason, Jaina, and Anakin?
Well, at that time, the expanded universe really didn't exist. That didn't happen until about 1991, actually.
Okay.
So at that point, it was just going to be Han and Leia and Luke's kids, with them being more mentors in this new trilogy, with them kind of passing the baton to the next generation of heroes. So as far as that, I feel like that's sort of what we got with Episode 7. I feel like it could have been executed better as far as the story goes. It felt a little bit too much like Episode 4.
It really did,
you know,
to be honest.
Giant space station blowing up an important planet with a small weak spot that... only a small ship can pilot.
And you have this
down.
Super epic character that shows up at the beginning, kind of like Darth Vader, except for the moment where they kind of ruined his character, unfortunately.
And then he took off his mask, and we
and
were
he turned
all
into
like,
a whiny baby
oh,
and
no.
started crushing everything. He threw a tantrum. I didn't really understand that part.
that part felt a little bit wasted, to be honest.
Yeah, but
although,
it was.
I really, really liked the vocal effects that Kylo Ren's mask had.
Yes.
I don't know
what
well it
done.
Was, but it sounded amazing.
I did like that. But then he took off the mask and it was just the character underneath. And admittedly, that's something you could never have done with Darth Vader.
Oh, for sure.
Until, of course, the very end of Episode 6. With Darth Vader, you got to leave the mask on. But also, the voice of James Earl Jones... spot on, amazing, super memorable.
Absolutely.
Like, did you ever see the cut with, I think, David Prowse or whatever the guy's
yeah,
actor,
David
where they
Prowse.
Had him doing the dialogue?
I did. It was very weird to hear Darth Vader talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi with a Scottish accent. You know? When we left, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
It wasn't powerful or memorable or just even epic.
It was
not a villain.
It was different. It just wasn't Darth Vader, you know?
But then they had James Earl Jones in there, and they had him. They had Mufasa, except he came... Well, Darth Vader came first, I guess. Or was Lion King first? I don't actually remember.
The Lion King came out in 1994.
So definitely Darth Vader was first.
Star Wars was definitely
first.
That
was in the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So what did you think... I guess, continuing along the storyline arc, what did you think of Rogue One, the newest Star Wars story?
Rogue One, I felt like, was promising. There were some things that I didn't feel like were explained very well. Like, the fact that all of the characters seem to be aware of the Force, and yet, at the same around the same time, Han Solo is like, oh, this is...
That's
like,
not how the Force works,
it's like a
to quote the meme.
Yeah. That's from a different movie, but...
Oh, whoops, okay.
That's Episode 7.
Agreed.
But yeah, I felt like it was a little bit weird to have a bunch of characters who were fully in tune with the Force when just a few months later in Episode 4, you have Han Solo talking about the Force like it's like a ancient legendary thing that just doesn't exist.
So even at the time, I think there were a couple characters who kind of didn't really believe in the Force. Like, they didn't believe really in Jedi either. So by that point, there were still, like, everything was falling out of, like, the popular memory and everything. So, like, people were forgetting that there were Jedi. They were forgetting that there was the Force.
Yeah,
there were still
some
characters that
true.
Knew. Like, the blind character, he was, I think he was basically straight up a Jedi with a staff as opposed to a lightsaber. He wasn't actually a Jedi, but, you know, I am one with the Force. The Force is with me. I am one with the Force. The Force is with me.
I will admit, though, that scene on the beach with him just walking through all the laser bolts, that was a little far-fetched for me, even in a Star Wars movie.
Though, admittedly, that does play to the stereotype of how good a Stormtrooper's aim
it
can be.
It absolutely does.
I mean, how bad a Stormtrooper's aim can be.
Oh.
Though I have to say, my favorite scene from Rogue One, I'm sure it's everybody's favorite scene, was the hallway scene. Where Darth Vader walks in. My only, I guess, complaint with that scene.
Darth Vader.
Well, first of all, that was amazing, though it does make Episode 4's lightsaber fighting with Obi-Wan very. It pales in comparison.
Oh, yeah.
It's nowhere close. But at the time, it was, you know, that's what it was at the time.
Yeah.
But then what I don't like about the hallway scene is how they're passing this data through the hallway and everything. And then when they get the data finally to the end of the hallway, they put it on a ship and the ship flies out. Like Tantive 4 flies out. Of the ship. And that doesn't make any sense.
That's
because Darth
right.
Vader very clearly sees Tantive IV, except that at the beginning of Episode 4, he says that the ship's plans were beamed in this general direction. And they try to make the argument that, oh, no, this ship is on a diplomatic mission, when it very clearly flew out of one of the Rebel ships.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a discrepancy there.
I would have loved them to like be trying to get it to the control room and then have them literally beam it to Tantive 4 in that general direction and have the Imperials scrambling to figure out, wait, where'd they beam this? You know, did it go to, I think they went to this ship.
And that would have been so much better.
I know. And so that's like one of my complaints with Rogue One. Well, along with the complaint that you can't really get close to any of the characters because
they all die.
They're not in the next movie.
Well,
all die.
Yeah, it's a classic case of being doomed by canon. You know, it's a prequel, so they either have to be alive but in like hiding or something in the next film, or they all have to die, and it's usually they all have to die.
Right. I mean, another way you could do it is, you know, in the movie explained some way that a character is like alienated or exiled or something where they wouldn't ever return until Episode 8 or something.
Yeah,
but they didn't do that. They just killed everyone off.
Yeah,
which works, but at the same time you can't really connect with the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that character with the gun? That was all his character development, was a character with a gun.
I don't even remember his name at this point.
I have no idea. He was the companion of the blind, not Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Although, speaking of characters, what did you think of Jyn Erso?
I think, well, first of all, I'm very glad they took out some of those shots from the trailer. I'm a rebel. I rebel. That's what I do. Or whatever. That didn't make any sense to have that in the movie.
Not so much.
Didn't make sense to have that in the trailer, really, either. I'm honestly, at this point, it's been a while since I've actually seen Rogue One and Episode 7, so I'm getting her mixed up with Rey.
Oh.
Which, I mean, they're similar in the sense that they're strong female leads who can do a lot and are very empowered and everything, but at the same time, they're completely different characters, and I'm
this
just getting
is
all
true.
Confused.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem I think I had with Jyn, especially as compared to Rey, is Jyn just doesn't really do anything. Like, the only real character trait she has is that she's always honest.
Right. And she always rebels by, following people's orders or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's also true.
Though I did kind of like how they explained, like, the Death Star's, like, thermal exhaust port by having the guy who designed it purposely put it in there.
That I did appreciate.
Like, I did like that, though I think... I know we weren't going to try to touch on the extended canon in this particular episode, but I think in the extended canon they had somebody else who filled that role. I don't think it was the same name.
Yeah, in the expanded universe, just a little bit of backstory. In the expanded universe, the Death Stars, of which there are, I think, four in existence.
I know there was a prototype that was in the Maw, in all the black hole cluster that you can't get into unless you know the background or are a Jedi.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, in the expanded universe, the Death Stars were all created by this genius weapons designer named Bevel Lemelisk.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I remember that
name.
He's
a very, very unique name, so I always remember how to say it. Or I always remember it because it's so unique.
Yeah, so he was the one who created the Death Star, and he created a couple different prototypes, one of which actually shows up in one of the extended universe books. When they make it into the Maw, they find a couple Star Destroyers and this prototype. And I think they end up defeating it, spoiler alert, by taking it and another super weapon. I forget what the super weapon is called. The Sun Crusher, I think? Yes, the Sun Crusher. It was a tiny little ship that could blow up suns by triggering a nuclear reaction or something like that.
Yeah, it basically causes the suns to go supernova.
Yes, and they took both that ship and the Death Star prototype into a black hole and destroyed them both.
Yep.
So, Yeah, but so he was the guy, Bevel Lemelisk.
Bevel Lemelisk.
Bevel Lemelisk.
It sounds like the word level.
I get the word lemon in there somewhere. That's in there.
It's in there somewhere. You just got to look for it.
That's
a little
bit of extended universe canon. But what was the guy's name in Rogue One who took that role?
In Rogue One, it was Jin's father.
Right. Something Erso.
Galen Erso.
Galen Erso. That's correct.
I believe that's a subtle nod to the Force Unleashed video game by LucasArts, because the main character in that game was Starkiller was his code name.
Wasn't he Darth Vader's secret apprentice at the time?
He was, yes.
And he had that one really weird ship that was like lopsided or something.
The Rogue Shadow.
Yes.
It was amazing, and I loved that ship.
Oh.
I almost bought it as a Lego model.
Ah, the Lego model was so cool. It looked so lopsided if you didn't know the original ship.
Yeah.
But it's such a cool ship.
Well, and it came with this like minifigure of like Darth Vader,
but like
half
all destroyed?
Beat up Darth Vader. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Which, completely side note, I have a Darth Vader minifigure that's Lego that has a medal around his neck, and I also have a Luke Skywalker that has a medal around his neck. And the story behind that is that I had, I believe it's the Lego Star Wars Visual Dictionary. Like, there's a Star Wars Visual Dictionary and a bunch of, like, Star Wars, like, ships and blueprints and things and Rebel blueprints.
I own a couple of them.
But this was a Star Wars Lego Star Wars Visual Dictionary, and it goes through all the different Star Wars Lego sets and different worlds and everything like that. And the character that was at the beginning, like in the front of the book, that they show is Luke Skywalker still on Tatooine with his longer hair, but with a medal around his neck. And so I have that character.
Huh.
And then, entirely unrelated, there was like a short Lego film, I forget what it's called, but it's supposed to take place between episodes 5 and 6. It's entirely Lego, and it's the funniest thing because it doesn't really make sense. But towards the end of it, they have that whole like coronation scene that's like at the end of episode 4.
Oh, I think I've seen
but
that.
But they do it with Darth Vader and a bunch of stormtroopers and everything, and Darth Vader gets a medal for some reason. And so if you get that DVD or that 2-disc DVD or whatever it is, you get Darth Vader with his cape and everything and a medal around
his
neck.
And a medal.
So those are like the only 2 Star Wars minifigures I actually have, which is a shame because I need more Legos. But I have Lego Luke and Darth Vader, the exclusive ones with their medals.
You can never have too many Legos.
You really can't. I personally don't think I have enough.
No. But I mean, I have a couple of complete Lego models of some Star Wars ships, actually. So I have Boba Fett's ship, the Slave One.
Oh, nice. You have like the collector's edition? Or like...
This one, I bought this, gosh, how old was I? I was 7 or 8 when I bought this.
Definitely so one of the older ones.
Definitely
for sure.
One of the older ones. So it's got some dated working part or moving parts.
Right.
And you can definitely tell that it's old, but it looks so cool.
So it's got like the older color schemes on some of the bricks and everything?
The older color scheme, it has one of those old like push cannons in
it. Oh, that's right. I remember those from way back
then. And I also have Darth Maul's ship. I don't know the name of it, but...
Oh, shoot. Is that the one that's got the cloaking?
Yeah.
The Sith Infiltrator.
Sith Infiltrator.
Oh, that ship is cool as well.
It is. Unfortunately, there's a piece of that that's missing.
Is it a crucial piece?
It's a cosmetic piece, but it's enough so that you'd notice it was there.
Or that notice that it's not there.
Yeah,
too.
Notice that it's not there.
All right.
Like,
well, next episode we'll definitely have to talk about maybe Legos. We had some good conversations about Exoforce on the way as well.
Or
maybe even the Star Wars Extended Universe. Or really, who knows?
Yeah.
But all right, I think it's about time that we should wrap up this
it
episode
probably
here.
Is.
So what we need to do now is we're going to end up picking a very random note, being how both of us have AP. So I'm going to say a random note. Let's go with B flat. A very common note. Mm-hmm. Good starting point. And we'll have some way to randomize this, but just for now, we're going to have it that Seth here, he's going to sing the 3rd note of the chord, and I am going to sing the 5th note of the chord, and we are going to sing goodbye. So we're going to start on a B-flat chord, and we're going to sing goodbye. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Goodbye!